Okay, Mr. Briggs, item 15.
Item 15 is consideration of a closure case. This is a case where the staff has not agreed with the request for closure, and so consequently, the responsible party has asked for an opportunity to make their case before the board.
I have a question on the, didn't we have to vote on that last one? Or?
No, I said we'd proceed with closure unless the board directed me.
Oh, okay, sir.
Go ahead. So this morning, we will summarize what we've described here in our staff report as our reasons for recommending against the closure, and the responsible party for the San Paso truck and auto at 81 Wilsona Road asked for 10 minutes, opportunity of 10 minutes to address the board, and our chair granted that time. So making our presentation this morning will be Chris Adair. John, can we dim the lights just a hair, please?
I'm Chris Adair, Waterboard staff and program manager for the Underground Tanks program. Before I start, I'd really like to thank Burton Chadwick for his help getting me into this position, and he has been an incredible mentor, and I just wanted to make that on the record. I'm here to summarize the staff report for item number 15, which is a recommendation against closure for the site at 81 Wilsona Road in Paso Robles. I'll give a brief history. The site is located 3.5 miles north of Paso Robles. You can see here, it's right on the corner of Wilsona Road and Paso Robles. It's a truck stop. Facilities at the site include a restaurant and a gas station. There's also a public supply well on the site, which is southwest of the former tank pit. This graphic is from the GeoTracker database. It shows the 8 monitoring wells from the site, the approximate location of the former tank pit, and the groundwater gradient. Contamination was first observed at this site back in 1989 during the tank upgrade. Consultants reported contamination near 1 million parts per billion of gasoline, benzene, as you see, and toluene. Our water quality objectives are here on the right-hand side. This graphic shows, this is a satellite photo from the GeoTracker database, and it shows the site here, the corner of Wilsona and Highway 101. This red ring is a 1,000-foot perimeter around the site. I put this in here so that you could see the residents within 1,000 feet. Each of these residents has a private water supply well. There are 14 private water supply wells within 0.5 mile of the site. In 2002, the site on the northeast corner of Wilsona and 101 had a hit of benzene at 1.2 parts per billion. In their supply well, and 220 parts per billion of gasoline in that same well.
Chris, could you show us the direction of groundwater flow on this site?
Here's the arrow that shows groundwater to the west. Right. The north is, north is at the top of the slide, so west. Now, the gradient at this site is really shallow. So it's like 0.0017 feet per foot of distance. So it's like 1.7 feet for every 0.17 feet for every 100 feet you go. So it's very shallow gradient. When they first discovered contamination, the groundwater gradient was to the northeast, was towards the well at the dollhouse. Excuse me. In this direction, going towards the northeast, towards that well right there. The gradient has actually shifted over time and is now reported to be towards the west. These are from monitoring reports.
Chris, one more time, the well that showed some benzene, where is that?
It's inside this 1,000-foot radius right there. Can you see that?
Yes. Thank you.
So monitoring was done for a year on all the four sites that are within the 1,000 feet and on the supply well at the site and for constituents of concern, and they all came up non-detect for a year afterwards. And so there was only one hit reported one time. Remediation was relatively non-existent for up until the site changed hands in 2007. At that time, we received a work plan, and in July of 2009, the responsible party began remedial activities. That included injection of hydrogen peroxide into the monitoring wells, and you can see that the remediation was very effective. These are data from February of 2009. So this is the first quarter after the end of remediation. Our concern is that we haven't had enough time to see this shallow groundwater shift. When you inject into monitoring wells and then monitor that well, it is likely that you'll see reductions in contaminants. I put together this graphic. This is, of course, not the site, but it tries to explain that if you were to put hydrogen peroxide into these monitoring wells, you would definitely have an impact on the plume. But what we're looking for is extended monitoring to allow the groundwater to move that plume back and forth between the monitoring wells so that we can confirm the effectiveness of the remedial strategy.
And Chris, how many times have they done the injection?
They did a series of injections that included, I think, 15 injections over 6 months. Okay. It was rigorous. And then they sampled immediately afterwards, and the sample showed that the remediation was effective at the monitoring site. However, the injection was made at the monitoring site. While I was doing the staff report, I asked the State Board technical staff at the cleanup fund to review the site, review the case. They did that, and they noted in their review that since the groundwater gradient has switched, there are no monitoring wells on the western edge of the property, and they recommend that at least one monitoring well be put on the western edge of the property to confirm the effectiveness of the remedial activity. I sent out two supplemental sheets. The first one should have been in your packet a couple of weeks ago. It was figure one, the site map. The second supplemental sheet was the soils report that I received from the responsible party that was data from a project from the Nacimiento Water Project. The Nacimiento Water Project collected soil samples on Walsona Road. I contacted the program manager for the project, for the Nacimiento Water Project. The project is going to put a pipeline right down, again, this is the site, this is Wellstone Road. The pipeline is going to go down this road. I contacted the program manager to locate the, to confirm the location of the soil samples. The samples were taken from spoils piles that, from pits that were 13 feet deep, 13 to 15 feet deep in these two spots. If you would, please note this road right here where the arrow is and that tree. This is, again, is a satellite shot from the GeoTracker database. There's the road right there, and there's the tree. So these two stars are the spots where those samples were taken. I did a calculation between the distance of from the approximate location of the old tank and these stars, and it's about 250 feet on this side, and it's about 350 feet on this side. Now, these samples all came up non-detect, which is what I would expect, and I feel that this report is relevant in that it doesn't support closure of the site. My recommendation is that the site not be closed, that we, and if you agree, we would like to, at a minimum, require continued monitoring to confirm the post-remedial activities, post-remediation monitoring to confirm the remedial activities. We also will take into account the State Board's recommendation and require a downgradient monitoring well and require confirmation soil sampling. That's the end of my presentation.
Any board questions? Mr. Hodgson.
Chris, would you go back to your drawing that shows the water flow? Right there, back. That one. The approximate location of supply well, that's a supply well for what?
That's a Department of Health Services domestic supply well, and they use the water from that well at the cafe that's on site. Mm-hmm.
And that water has been tested?
Yes.
And
that was tested as recently as January, and there are no constituents of concern in that well.
Okay, thank you.
Dr. Hunter.
Thank you, Chris, for your report. I want to be sure I got this right. You said the soil letter with the soil sample report does not support closure of the site.
Correct. In my opinion, it's too far away. It doesn't reflect conditions around the former tank site.
Okay. And does it also have to do with the shallow depth of those soil samples?
Yes, it's not in the groundwater. It's a soil sample.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, and so the distance from the former tank site and the depth, I think, negate the, they don't support closure of the site.
Right, there's not much value to the information.
I'm sorry?
Not enough value to the information we're looking at.
I don't believe there is.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Okay, Mr. Hayashi.
What would be the difference in the monitoring well as opposed to using the supply well?
The depth of the monitoring wells is probably only around 30 feet. The supply well is probably at 300 feet, 250 feet. And there's a sanitary seal around the supply well. Because it's a DHS supply well, we expect that there's a sanitary seal down to about 50 feet.
Okay. We have a request from the discharger to speak, right, Mr. Adair, for 10 minutes. And I thought I saw a card.
I haven't seen a card.
It's kind of vanished. Come on up, sir.
I'm just going to stop after 7 minutes in case you have any technical questions, because
okay.
I brought the engineer supervising the cleanup, and it'll be better for him to answer your questions
okay.
directly. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen of the board. Thank you for allowing me this time to speak. If I could take 2 minutes of my first part of time to clean up a couple of misconceptions.
Sure. And if you could just state your name first.
Gerard Martirano. And I'm here representing actually the current property owner.
Thank you.
There's a little bit of confusion, perhaps. I understand staff is not confused, but just so the board understands, the current property owner is Wine Country Gateway. They purchased the property in November of 2007. The responsible party are John and Penny Wolf. They sold the property to a group called San Paso Truck Stop in 2000. In the almost 19, 20 years that this was going on, the responsible party never took any remedial action. When the property changed hands, it sold for in excess of $1 million, and there was well funds then. The Wolves had always pleaded bankruptcy, I suppose. There was well funds then that they could have started some sort of remedial action. Currently, John and Penny Wolf are bankrupt. They're old. I don't know if any of you knew them or remembered them. They're living in a shack in Utah, and I mean, I have limited contact with them. They have authorized me to work on cleaning up the site. They have told me they care less. They're old, trampled by a horse, don't care what happens. They lost all their money. So, unfortunately, the responsible party can't really be held accountable in any way, shape, or form. When we purchased the property from minute one, we have moved forward to cleaning it up. It was always our intention. Unfortunately, some bad things have happened since then that really unfortunately affect us negatively. Unfortunately, when we purchased the property, we paid all cash, and at the time, this is not any of the board's responsibility, you could borrow against your property. Nowadays, the lending climate is entirely different. Every bank we have approached to purchase, to lend money to finish rehabbing the station, which has been closed for 2 years because it does not conform to environmental standards, and the prior operators who were operating it prior to our purchasing it also were operating in violation of the law. When we discovered that, we threw them off the property. It cost us a lot of money. We've invested somewhere in the neighborhood of our remaining cash that we had in this project in terms of eliminating any potential ongoing threat to the environment. Unfortunately, the problem is that the company has run out of money that currently owns the property. The taxes were paid out of one of the partners' private account, and that's it. He does not have any more money to finish reopening the station and getting things done. You've got an eyesore. That map, unfortunately, is a little bit old because there's a whole other building on the other side there. I do understand. Now, to address Mr. Adair's concerns, a couple of things that have happened. For one, the letter from Tiger Construction, the only reason it was supplied was that at least it showed some off-site data. I figured it couldn't hurt to supply it to the board for their knowledge. Secondly, the on-site well that is supplied the restaurant has been tested by Environmental Health every 6 months to 1 year for the past, I think, since it's been operating, which is at least 5 or 10 years, and it has never shown any detectable levels of anything. With respect to that one off-site well hit, I believe when I first purchased the property, I spoke with Burton Chadwick about it, and his opinion at the time was, well, if you see one number one place, the odds are, who knows, somebody touched something and contaminated the sample. There's two more things I'd like to address in Mr. Adair's report. One of them is, as you've noticed, the groundwater shifted. It was flowing to the east. It's come back. I guess the good news is that means anything that would have been flowing off the site would have flowed back onto the site and would show up in the wells, in the monitoring wells themselves, which were located. There's one more thing. The other problem we're facing is this. We're not the responsible parties. We never were. We're outsiders. People lived here, owned this, operated it, did it, left it messy for 19 years almost before we purchased it. I don't think it sets a good environmental policy to really make it impossible or unclear as what we need to do to get this matter closed. If the on- or off-site down-gradient wells were an issue, when we formulated the treatment plan, they should have been an issue then. And I think the treatment plan that staff had recommended should have included that at that time. Because it was obvious, if that was a concern, it was a concern then that would be apparent to any engineer. And I don't think that there's really any evidence to support. We could monitor it forever and won't do anything to treat it. For 19 years, or sorry, 89, 17 years it sat untreated. And that's it. Unfortunately, we need a hand from you guys. The staff had addressed in their letter about our problem of dealing with the banks that they'd be glad to talk to any bank. Every bank, if you know of one, please let me know, because every bank we've approached has said, open matter, Have a nice day. Call us back when you get it closed. It's an eyesore. It's draining the UST fund. If it gets reopened, it could supply substantial funds to the UST fund. The whole time that the prior owners owned it, it was doing hundreds of thousands of dollars business a year. You know, and it's kind of frustrating to me. We're trying to get this done, and if we can't have closure, some clear direction that would tell us, hey, this is what you need to close it. Because treating it forever or monitoring it won't help anybody. Cleaning it up will. At this point, if you have any tech questions for me, I'd be glad to answer them. If you have any technical questions, Steve Little, the supervising engineer, is here.
So do you have any, I'm sure you would have thought of this, but any insurance policies that...
There were no insurance.
It did not exclude pollution?
They're not ours. And the problem is that the Wolves did not carry insurance for that, to my knowledge. But we never operated the station. From the time we purchased the property, we closed the station within a few months. And any environmental policy we would have purchased would have excluded the existing. And we were aware that the station had an issue, and we always planned to clean it up. We think we've cleaned it up. I mean, the numbers show that it's down. I don't see any huge physical reason that these numbers should shoot up. You want to do one more quarter of monitoring? Yes, but at a certain point, I'd say they're down. Hearing the last station, that the numbers are still up above detect levels, and you're willing to close it.
So you'd like to be able to reopen the station?
Well, that's a different issue with environmental health, because all the fuel systems need to be upgraded. That's why they're closed. They don't conform to the newest pollution discharge standards, alarm and monitoring systems, and the cost of installing that is in the neighborhood of about $500,000, which will be done before the station can ever be reopened. New dispensers, new monitors.
So will the banks loan you money if the case,
not if there's an
if the
open
case
environmental
is closed?
Yes. Once the case is closed, we can get financing because we have enough. The property is owned outright. Once the case remains open until it's closed, banks are... Part of the reason is they're concerned, obviously, is they don't want to be drawn into anything if they auction the property, et cetera.
Does the cleanup and abatement account? Mr. Pettit is here somewhere, right? I don't know if we had to ask a question of him, but the cleanup and abatement account, would it supply funds to help with any of this last monitoring?
Well, I understand you're still accessing the fund, is my understanding.
Yes, unfortunately, Penny Wolf and John Wolf were paying that. Penny and John Wolf are pretty much out of money. That's the problem.
The state's cleanup and abatement account?
Yes, but you have to get through $10,000 each time, as you know, before you can apply for reimbursement. Yes, the state has paid for all of this up till now by reimbursement, but you do have to outlay the money up front. And that's the problem, is it's becoming quite difficult. Also, the fact
is
that...
Haven't they already paid their upfront money?
Yes, but the thing is that they only get back what they paid in. Okay, so we've used kind of like it's a clearing account, like $10,000 at a time. But the problem is...
So it's a cash flow problem then, even though it's reimbursable.
Yes. It's a big problem. Also, the fact of that, you know, the taxes are delinquent on the property because, quite simply, the company can't do anything with the property. You know, we've done our best to clean it up. We're outsiders. Okay. We came in, we invested money in cleaning it up and trying, you know, we've personally, you know how much, I mean, I've spent 15, 20 trips up here, never got reimbursed a penny for them. I live in Los Angeles. I drive up here once every other month at least for the past 2-3 years. My partner's gone out there and physically hauled the garbage that people have been throwing off because the station's closed. And it's getting to be an eyesore to everybody, and it's getting to be a detriment to the neighborhood.
Mr. Martorano?
Yes, Dr. Hunter.
Just one clarification. The Wolves are the owners, but you're also referring to the company and then your partner. Been hired by the Wolves?
No, the Wolves don't care.
Well, they're the owners, but
no,
who's
the company?
No, they're
not the owners. They sold the property in 2000 to Brett Butterfield and two other people who are the San Paso Truck Stop Group, and then they sold the property to us. At no time in that 6-7 years that the San Paso LLC owned it between the Wolves and us did they ever do a single thing to clean up one thing. Matter of fact, they didn't even do the monitoring. The Wolves had Carolyn Walsh, who was an engineer at the time, doing the monitoring, and beyond that, nothing was done.
And who caused the contamination? Was it the Wolves?
The Wolves. Well, I don't know if they caused it personally.
No, but I mean, during
it was on their watch. It was back, yeah, when they owned the station almost 20 years ago.
And what about the second owners and it sold to you?
Never did a thing.
But
never assumed responsibility.
But did they contribute in any way to the contamination?
No. No, they didn't. Neither did we. But we've come in and we've tried, you know, we've moved forward as fast as we can to clean it.
Mr. Young.
Yes, Mr. Shellcross.
It seems to me, I am concerned about the plume. You know, if you treat it at the monitoring well and then test it at the monitoring well, you're not going to get an idea of what's happening on the whole plume. So I would like to see that downstream monitoring well go in, but I'm wondering if it's merely the technicality of having an open case against these folks is stopping them from going into business. Is there some way we can close the case and enter into a side contract of some kind where they would put in that monitoring well?
I'm not familiar with that situation.
Maybe.
See, in other words,
close this case, mm-hmm. but enter into an agreement with the property owners that they will put in the monitoring well, and that we can continue as if it were open. But not an official.
Is there a way to do that still gets reimbursed by the state fund? Because
Well, are we going to have it one way or the other, maybe?
Yeah, I know. The problem is that say you find something then and requires $200,000 of remediation.
But I'm just trying to figure a way to get you.
Yeah, I know. I appreciate it. Would it be,
Only
thing about it is that the concern was the plume was, it's a legitimate concern. Why does this come up when I ask for closure? Why wasn't this brought up at treatment? It really was the time to address it then, I think.
Well, perhaps staff didn't know that the plume had the ability to change direction. I don't know.
It's my understanding that staff and the consultant talked about injecting peroxide into the monitoring wells, and the consultant knows full well that we really need to let the groundwater equilibrate. We need to let it come back so that we can see if the actual remedial effects. I don't think it's a surprise. I think they finished their remediation in November of 2009. This is April of 2000 or May of 2010. We've had one monitoring. I think that we have established a pathway to closure. I'm concerned that the groundwater might still be contaminated. I'm still recommending that we...
Okay. But it sounds, Chris, like what we're trying to do is figure out how to access money.
I understand.
To make all this work so that we can still protect groundwater quality. And since there's more limited financial options available to everybody to do this, we have to think a little bit out of the box on this. If we were to close the case but have some contingencies in it, in other words, where in the event some follow-up monitoring detected that the concentrations did not go down, could the case be reopened at a later date?
We can reopen the case.
We can?
Yes.
Okay.
And Chris, do you know if you do reopen it, whether you can then that the fund can be used if you reopen it later?
It is my experience.
Yes.
There may be other people in the audience. Maybe Burton Chadwick would know a better answer.
Burton,
he's gone.
He's already went into retirement.
another thought is: is there any way that this might fit into the abandoned recalcitrant account?
The only way that would happen, well, we just sent a resolution to the state board for the EAR account that will be heard in May, maybe even next week. So we're way too late for that. So it wouldn't happen for a year.
Yes.
I have one other thought.
Go ahead.
Well, board meets what, every quarter? just about? When's the next board meeting? This board meeting?
Our board meets almost every month, but about 10 times a year.
Well, maybe the best thing to do is, instead of wondering what that plume is or that potential well, how about if I agree to get Steve over here, to get the people out there, drill it as soon as possible. We'll test it, see what it comes back. If it comes back clean, then we know and we can proceed with closure at the next, you know, as soon as practical at the next meeting thereafter. How's that?
What I would like to see, I'm sorry, excuse me. What I would like to see is, if we're going to test it again, I'd like to hold off on testing it until it's due to be tested in September.
Staff is looking for sufficient time. Obviously, you know, you inject the peroxide, it has an effect on the plume in that immediate area.
I was talking about the downgradient well. If your concern is the downgradient well, why don't we install that as soon as possible, test it? Because we can guess till the cows come home, pardon the expression, about what's in that, what would be the result. The results might be very enlightening in the sense of, okay, we find out, wow, the downgradient well either is dirty, is clean, whatever it is, then we'll have the actual data. We come back, if it's good, then we know the stuff hasn't gone off-site.
Is that, Chris, you know if that's shallow enough to do a hydro punch?
I don't know. I'd have to defer to staff.
Yeah.
Isn't there the same time question, though? I mean, sounds like that there has to be a certain period where groundwater movement needs to do its thing, and so to do a sampling well now seems premature again, but maybe I'm missing something.
Well, if I may, and Chris, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I would think in terms of, if you're sufficiently down gradient, that it's an area that probably isn't even affected by the hydrogen peroxide. It would take longer, a lot longer, for groundwater to move, you know, any significant distance off site. But
can you put the exhibit up, Chris?
The map.
The map kind of helped us, where you had the injection treatment sites in that cross section.
So the point I was trying to make is, the injections were in these wells, and Chris's little cartoon showed that it's possible that there is remediation just in the vicinity of those wells. But the State Board staff has said you need something down here to see what's happening. This would not be affected, I would not think, by what just happened over the last few quarters.
Why don't you put up the cartoon, Chris, if you could switch.
Excuse me.
There, that one. So
what I was saying is that whatever has happened here wouldn't have any effect if you wouldn't see any effect of that down here, I would not think, because you were talking about what a flat gradient it is. That would indicate the groundwater is moving pretty slowly.
You know, to interpret State Board technical staff's letter, I believe their concern was that the gradient has shifted over time and that possibly the plume has separated from the actual site. And so perhaps what Mr. Mortarano is saying is correct, in that we're not expecting that the, I don't think that they were saying, has the hydrogen peroxide actually affected the downstream plume, more has the plume moved downstream.
Right.
My simple thing would be, the best way to find that out then would be to drill a hole and test it, maybe two holes.
Can I borrow your
okay, there's, well, imagine this is the cartoon and those are the wells, and this is, say, the edge of the property, just for argument's sake. Okay, I understand what Commissioner Briggs is saying. You've tested out here. Probably nothing happened out there at all, which would be great to know, because it would be great to know there's nothing in the groundwater. But why don't we just do, as long as you got the drilling equipment out there, I'd assume it's a pretty much smaller job anyway to go certain distance, agreed upon distance, go one, two, couple wells in line, say, with the gradient, and check them and see what happens. Then you get kind of a nice, you'll get a sense of whether there is a plume. Part of the problem is we don't know whether there is or is not a plume, or we don't know where it went if there was one. I'd say at least then let's drill those, get them, and if they're clean, say, okay. You know, it's
Well, I can't see how that's any different what staff was asking for.
Well, he's saying wait till September. I'm like, why not do it tomorrow? What's the point in waiting till September to drill the extra wells further down?
What's the point of waiting till September? The fact that...
Equilibrium.
Hmm?
Equilibrium.
That would be to check and see what's really happening here.
Okay, good.
If this kind of fills in the treated area. And
well, it probably wouldn't come back to the board before then anyway.
What about, Chris, if that made sense, if they were to drill another well on the other side of the plume in case it's been shifting, groundwater has gone back the other way for some reason? In other words, one on each side.
Well, we have monitoring wells. What would be upstream?
We do. Okay.
Yeah. Now.
Okay.
So I'm in the understanding that time is of the essence. Because so maybe in September, there won't be anything left to look at, as far as the company is concerned.
It's a good possibility. I'd hate to see that happen. Lord knows I'll get my butt sued off by the people who bought the property. But
and if he's agreed to drill this well, we don't know what's going to come out of it. So, I mean, if he's willing to take the gamble, I mean, we could at least look at it, I would assume.
Well, Roger, what do you think?
I have another question that in terms of this issue about time, and Chris Adair is talking about time needed for this to, if this is the case, then have a chance for this to move in here so you get that sample. But what about instead of just statically sampling the monitoring wells, actually doing a little bit of pumping so that you're accelerating the movement? And if you pump, you find out if there are some contaminants in the neighborhood of the well.
I don't know
if that's feasible.
I discussed that with staff. And it's kind of a two-edged thing because you'll be pumping out the treatment. Anything that's residual in the wells, you'll be taking it out. So I'm not a geologist. I'd have to defer to staff.
Mm-hmm. Turn on your mic.
Well, what happens if you drill the proposed new well and pump that well? Because then anything close would be moved to that well, and then you'd be able to get a sample of the water at that point.
Well, the further away you are, then the bigger cone of depression you have to have for anything to happen. So,
what would happen if you drill this new well and you sample it and it's clean? Close the case, and then it's done, and then you just sample it later.
Here's the problem we've got right now. We don't have staff right present who can answer the technical issues.
No, but I mean, technically or not technical, I'm just saying that can we close it based? I mean, if we're looking for one more sample or something to tell us that it's clean, and if it comes up clean, can we close it at that point?
Well,
we don't know.
Well, we could close it.
No. That's what I'm saying.
Any time we want.
No,
I think we want staff
and then
be able to expertise to answer the question. To weigh in on this.
I think part of the problem
with staff here.
Okay.
Part of the problem is we don't have any information to point to the fact that we should close it. The only numbers we have that show that this is even close to being closed are, as I understand, numbers that were taken at the monitoring well site immediately after the good stuff was pumped in. So that to me doesn't indicate anything at this point.
Right.
So I'm going to need more than that
to even get close to closing.
I think we should let staff work out sort of the details of what needs to be done, but because I'm not sure that we need to get into that level of it. But I haven't seen anything, unfortunately, that would lead me to close it. I thought maybe that was a good idea. We could close it. you know, and have a side contract. I don't know if that's still possible, but if we're just being asked to say yes or no, I haven't seen anything yet that would indicate we should close it.
Dr. Hunter?
Yeah, just one point of clarification. Chris, what you're describing to us is, and I heard you say that there are possibility of two different plumes, one plume that's separated from the original.
I think State Board staff indicated that since there's no downstream well, that's a possibility. I didn't say that there was or wasn't.
Okay. So the new sampling well would be in response to State Board concern, but it doesn't address the actual contamination of the area we've been treating.
No.
Okay.
On that point, we were really focusing on the fact that we needed the equilibrium to be achieved.
Right.
And I think it's, you know, I think it's fair to say that historically State Board staff has been less conservative than we are, and that is more ready to close cases. So the fact that we asked for their review and they came back with actually recommending more work than we were recommending is very noteworthy as far as the case goes, and speaks to the issue of whether or not it's appropriate for closure.
Well, we're not going to be in a good situation if we have a property owner that can't advance any of the cleanup costs. Then we're going to be in a situation that doesn't help anybody.
Yeah, so, and I appreciate Mr. Shallcross's creative thinking. I tend to think it's probably too much of a shell game for the cleanup fund.
Okay. How about if we do this? Why don't we go with staff's recommendation right now to not close it, but to have staff work with the owner and see if something can't be done with some additional wells or monitoring that might alleviate some of staff's concerns. And, you know, have technical staff review, you know, what might be done to do some monitoring, some new wells.
And how about some new wells close to the area where that was treated? Rather than testing out of the same well, you put the remediation in. I mean,
I would recommend that some soil confirmation sampling be done, possibly one well downstream close to the site to see if remedial action has been effective, and then one well towards the western edge of the property to make sure that the plume hasn't migrated. That's I think,
okay.
A fair compromise.
Well, I think we'll leave that up to you to work out with the owner so that you're satisfied that you're going to get the sampling that is going to give you confidence, should generate sufficient information so that you would either want to close it or, you know, feel that it can't be closed. So
either way,
you don't have to tell us what that is right now, Chris. You can consult with your geologist and then see what can be worked out.
Either way, we'll need to bring it back to you for
that's fine.
As a recommended
and
closure.
You can bring it back to us as soon as you can bring it back to us, and we'll look at it again. Yes, sir.
My suggestion would be I don't mind going to the state myself and saying what will satisfy them, too. I mean, rather than leave them in the dark, don't drive up to Sacramento
yeah,
and say,
bring
hey.
Us. That's fine.
Here, you had a concern. Will this address it? My biggest goal would be to get some clear direction as to what will satisfy everybody so we can close it instead of wondering
right.
what may satisfy everybody so we can close it.
Well, because yeah. may is an important word because it depends on what the results
are.
I
understand
and
the
so
results. I'm just saying if you say, okay, you do this, this, and this, it's
well,
clean, we're good.
Okay. Well, we'll see what they come up with because we don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. What would be the, suppose we did the expedited drilling and testing, as was suggested, are we going to still not get this issue back here to do something about it until September or October or whatever?
That depends on them, what yeah. kind of sampling, monitoring regime
trying
they're
to
able
see if
to do.
If we really are, we'll be expediting things by doing this.
We'll review it as soon as they want to bring it back to us. So we have a July board meeting.
Right.
We have
September.
And September. The owner's trying to get it back, you know, have this done before September.
Precisely.
So, I mean, we'll do whatever we can do to review.
Okay. So when the information is available, we'll make an effort to get it on the very next board meeting.
Yes.
Right.
Definitely.
And is there some way we can't put a placeholder on the July meeting just so that it's on there? If you don't have the stuff, then we pull it, but just so that we don't have to worry about you guys getting the information, and, oh, gee, it's too late to get it on the agenda.
Well, can
staff is concerned that we won't have the data by then.
Well, that's fine, and so then we don't hear it.
Yeah.
But at least if you do have the data, I don't want it to be we couldn't bring it in July because
we can pencil in.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
good. I like that.
Mr. Chair, I have two questions.
Go ahead, Mr. Jeffries.
Did I hear you or did I understand you correctly said you ran out of money?
Pretty much.
Well, the reason I ask that is then you're volunteering to do monitoring wells. If you ran out of money, how are you going to pay for doing the monitoring wells and the testing?
To be honest, I'm going to sell some stuff that I own to do it so I can get this done because I'm facing being sued by the investors. So pretty much if I sell some property I own, they're going to get it anyway if they sue me. So doesn't involve me. I'm paying it out of my own personal pocket for a mess everybody else created. Now, hopefully, I'll fund the money to Penny and John, and they have agreed that they would give that money back to me when it comes back from the state. So it's more like a loan to Penny and John, but it's coming out of me selling personal property to fund this. I think that shows a pretty heavy level of commitment.
I get an urgency that you want to have this closed, but do you have a proposed buyer to buy this property?
No, we have a proposed lender. We've been dealing with banks, and we've talked to Red Bud Bank, and we have a contract from B&T to fix the station up and reopen it. And we've worked with everybody who will – a lot of people extend us credit. Once this is signed off, they'll give us credit to fix – put in the new pumps, new dispensers – upgrade all the fuel systems for environmental health. It has nothing to do with the water board. Get
so
the new permits, open the station.
Your group is intending to operate this once.
And then to develop the rest of the property and clean it up because it's a disaster area and an embarrassment to the county when you drive past it.
Okay. Thank you.
It sounds like that's why he's interested in something definite, that if they do X, that we will go ahead and promise to close.
I don't see how we can give that promise.
Right.
Well, I think it's conditional on, obviously, we find a major contamination, I respect, but if we find that it's clean and we've satisfied everybody that it's clean, I think then it would be appropriate to close the site.
We agree that's how it always works.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. Do you need any other direction from the board at this time?
No, we don't need a motion.
Okay.
Thank
great.
You. I
Thank
appreciate
you very
your
much.
Expediting it and putting on the next calendar.
Okay.
That's a big
Good.
Help.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks.
Thank you.